All right. Good call.
Very good call.
34 after the hour. This is Catholic Answers Live, going now to Houston, Texas, on Guadalupe Radio. It's Father Victor. Hello, Padre.
Hello. Hi.
Hey.
Thank you for taking the call. I had a question about, I was leading a Bible study on Exodus on the golden calf, and a girl asked a question about the passage, whether it says that Moses is quoted as saying in verse 27 of chapter 32, you know, thus says the Lord, and basically he goes throughout telling everyone to kill people.
Yes.
And so the question was, why did God ask Moses to do that?
Right.
That he's contradicting himself.
Right. Yes.
Because of the Ten Commandments. So I just wanted to hear your response to that.
Yeah, this is a really, really good question, and thank you for asking it. In fact, this problem resurfaces all over the Old Testament. And here's what I would argue, Father, is that God, and I use the approach of St. Irenaeus, when St. Irenaeus was dealing with Marcion, who, of course, had a very difficult time with more than just these texts, but the Old Testament in general. In fact, he saw these as so radically different from the New Testament that he believed, as you know, that there was an evil God of the Old Testament, or a principle, and a good God, or principle, of the New Testament. And never shall the twain meet, right? Well, St. Irenaeus says, no, it's not God who changes from Old to New Testament, but it's man who changes. And he uses the analogy of a father raising a family. And now, I've got 6 kids, Father Victor, and I can tell you, I do not treat my 2-year-old or my 4-year-old the same way that I treat my 11-year-old, right? And you certainly don't treat your 17-year-old the same way you treat your 4-year-old. You know, you start, you know, spanking your 17-year-old on the rump, and we've got real problems. But there are times that you need to not spare the rod. Let's just put it that way. And so what St. Irenaeus is saying is that God is taking an ancient people, a tribal people, out of a very barbaric time, and he treats them a certain way. He does things that would seem odd in a New Testament setting. Why? Because he grows these people up. And remember, a very important principle, Father, is that God respects our freedom. God established Adam and Eve in the garden as free. They freely chose to reject, which led them into sin and to darkness. But God does not immediately come in and give them the fullness of the revelation that we have in Jesus Christ. But he gives them, you know, as the inspired author of Hebrews says in Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1, God, who spoke in various and partial ways in the Old Testament, has now fully spoken by a son, or by his son. He's given us the fullness of the revelation. And so God deals with them where they are as an ancient people. And that means sometimes it needing to spank them on the rump, so to speak, or to do things that appear odd to us in order to raise them up. And over time, we see, even in the Old Testament, God raises them up. We can use other examples, like divorce, where Moses permits it there in Deuteronomy 24, 1 through 4. And yet later on, hundreds and hundreds of years later, in the book of Malachi, God says, I hate divorce. He, even in Deuteronomy, forbids divorce and remarriage or many wives to kings and so forth. And so we see the seeds there, where God is elevating the conversation. But at times it was necessary in dealing with these people to deal with them in very stern ways. And that's what we see there in Exodus chapter 32. Does that help at all, Father?
Yes. Yes. Thanks a lot.
All right. I appreciate that.
So glad he said yes.
Yeah. And, you know, because I will say this. I mean, there are a lot of folks today, and I know among scripture scholars who are saying, well, you know, Moses, it says, thus saith the Lord, but it's not really the Lord, and the Lord would never do these sorts of things. And I think that's very, very problematic when it comes to the inspiration of Scripture. And then once you open that can of worms, well, then what do you do with Ananias and Sapphira in the New Testament, right? What do you do with the whole concept of eternal damnation and punishment for sin and so forth? What do you do with Job? What do you do with the fact that God allows a thorn in the flesh? In fact, Second Corinthians chapter 12, St. Paul says, God sent the messenger of Satan to buffet me,
mm-hmm.
right? I mean, I think, Patrick, it's very, very dangerous when we begin to move God away from real time, our real lives, and understand that God is the source of everything. He's not the first cause of any moral evil, don't get me wrong, but God is in control. And when we move him out and say, oh, no, God couldn't be, God couldn't be, God couldn't be, I mean, we end up with a distant God that's no longer really involved in our day-to-day lives, and that's a very dangerous thing.
Rabbi Harold Kushner wrote a book in the 70s called
When
Bad Things Happen to Good People, and he tells a heartbreaking story of his own son who had progeria, that premature aging disease. And as I recalled him, the good rabbi makes a terrible conclusion that God really can't do much about it.
Absolutely.
Outside his divine hand.
And you find that in liberal Protestant circles as well. You end up in a Unitarianism or, you know, God would like to help if he could. He's just really busy.
So-called. He's smart. Don't get me wrong. He's a good guy. All right. 1-888-31-TRUTH. This is Catholic Answers Live. I do want to plug his other book, which is excellent. It's called When Everything You've Always Wanted Isn't Enough.
Ah, that I have
Harold
not
Kushner.
Read.